For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dalton played a really good game. You can tell that the defense was really concerned with where he was on any given moment, and it kind of opened it up for some other guys, and I don't think that was maybe necessarily intention, but love to get him going a little earlier. But he had some of the best blocks in the game, and it didn't bother him at all. And so the everyone eats kind of mindset, if people are focusing on him, it opens up for other people. And so I was pleased with, after the game, how excited he was with only one catch or something like that. So obviously he's a good football player, and he helps us when the ball's in his hands, and we'd love to get him more of it, just like a lot of the other guys. But all he cares about is winning, and that's a lot of the guys on our offense.
Joe Brady on Dalton Kincaid. There was a All-22 look. Anthony Prochaska, Anthony Cover 1, tweeted out, Kincaid getting a ton of attention on a play. The pass goes off to one of the backs. Maybe to Ray Davis on this play? Or
it might have been the rare quadruple coverage.
Yeah.
And Allen threw it to Ray Davis, who's wide open.
Everybody in the like, oh, Kincaid. A lot of focus on Kincaid, which is not a surprise. Like, eventually, teams are going to decide who they want to take away from you. And in week one, Arizona, it was Kincaid, and the Bills were able to distribute the ball around. Joining us on the Western Hotline, Chris Trapasso, to chat about this Bills win. Also, maybe a little bit on the Jets, and I might ask you about Kyle McCord, if I'm honest, Chris. NFL draft and young player analyst at CBS Sports, and a friend of the show. All right, Chris, let's start, actually, if you don't mind. We'll get calls in a moment, too. But on the Jets, I'm going to go ahead and say my fear of the Jets as a legitimate contender. It's week one, I know. But between their defense getting just absolutely steamrolled and Rodgers looking old, like, I'm just not really thinking about the Jets in the same way that I was.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to bring up, that they don't look as ferocious on defense. Obviously, facing the 49ers, even without Christian McCaffrey, is no easy task for any team. But I think it was easy because we got so wrapped up in the Aaron Rodgers saga, and maybe even the Hassan Reddick saga as well. To not have Jordan Whitehead, who had those three interceptions of Josh Allen in week one, no John Franklin Myers, C.J. Mosley goes out for a little bit. They were one of the healthiest defenses throughout the entire year last year. It was easy to kind of forget, and they lost Bryce Huff, who was the guy that just wreaked havoc against this Bills offensive line over the last couple years. To lose those three or four players that were really good on this defense last year, I think it kind of like slipped under the rug that we weren't talking about that enough. I do think Rodgers made a couple nice throws, but your kind of classification there that he looked old, there was a couple times where he had to roll left or roll right away from pressure. He didn't seem as twitchy as he used to be. The ball kind of died as it got to its intended target. So I think this is still a quality team, but you're right, and I feel the same, that in terms of being this really scary, dangerous, complete team in the AFC, it just didn't really feel like that in week one.
How much could the Bills have proven what they are in week one, given the opponent Arizona? Josh Allen put on an MVP performance like he tends to do. Looking at week one for the Bills, pluses, minuses, where do you come out?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I always say that if you look back in even 2 months to week one, like maybe that Patriots game where they beat down the Bengals, they don't really allow Joe Burrow to get going. That may look like one of those weird results that we usually get a few of those. But having said that, I think the Bills kind of showed what they're mostly going to be this season. That at times the defense, because of so many new pieces, so many younger players that just haven't played very much leading into this season, are going to look, you know, out of sorts, not knowing where to line up. There's two guys covering one player in the flat. That leaves someone open on a third down. But then throughout the course of the game, and especially after halftime, because of the coaching staff, they can make adjustments. They can maybe play a little bit more man coverage than they have in the past because they're younger, they're more athletic in the secondary. And then on offense, I think the offense is just going to hum. I mean, maybe there was a little bit of a concern from Bills Mafia and Bills fans that they ran the football too much. But I think Joe pointed out yesterday on Twitter that they had the 14th highest neutral run rate in the NFL. So, pass rate. So it wasn't as though they were just running the ball the entire game. It really just, when it called for it, and they ran it relatively well, not amazingly well, but I thought James Cook looked pretty good, and they're going to distribute the football, and Josh Allen is going to be Josh Allen. So for as much as week one usually is a little bit wonky and it takes time for teams to really show their true identity, I thought we got a good glimpse of what we're going to get from the Jets this year in most games, and same with the Bills.
Chris Trapasso on the Western Hotline. Surprised at all with Arizona? You know, it's funny. Like, Chris, they had a good first half, and then it all went away. And their opening touchdown is aided by a personal foul call that probably shouldn't have been one. They featured James Conner. It was so much Conner and nothing to Marvin Harrison, really. Like, it seemed to me like a little bit of a sleepwalky plan for them. Once the Bills made an adjustment, Arizona did not.
Yeah, and this entire game, there was just not very many receivers for Arizona involved. I mean, it was really the Greg Dortch show. Maybe he's someone that you drafted like in your last round of your fantasy draft after the Zay Jones suspension got handed down. But I think it's hard in today's NFL. I mean, it's so yards after the catch base now. But to just win a game, especially on the road when you're an underdog, when it's just like throws into the flat, screens, like maybe you can get out to a lead like you're mentioning, but once that opponent makes those halftime adjustments, you need production from your receivers. The Bills saw that even last year when Gabe Davis was having goose eggs and Stephon Diggs down the stretch wasn't really producing at that same level. So it was a very weird game plan for them. It kind of worked for the first half, and I guess pretty well, but I thought Christian Benford, the Bills corners, even to have Jamarcus Ingram being thrown in there, who hasn't played very much, but has kind of been this training camp preseason darling over the last couple of years out of UB, was very impressive how they were able to shut down what we were expecting, you know, it was going to be and probably will be a relatively high-scoring Cardinals offense that's going to move the football and wants to move the football vertically down the field with Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr.
In terms of, does it seem like the type of thing that could translate to Thursday for the Bills when you get the Dolphins with a big play offense, what they did defensively, like what I guess is repeatable?
From the Bills, do you think?
Yeah, from the Bills.
Yeah, from the Bills. I think in that second half, and a lot of people have pointed this out, I think what's great about having this new access to NFL Pro is that everyone gets, you know, a great look at the All-22 film, and I know that you guys have watched it. I don't know if it was something that will continue throughout the whole season, but in that first half, in terms of the assignments, like I mentioned, there was a couple of those third down conversions that the Bills allowed where there was literally like Cam Lewis, Terrell Bernard, and Dorian Williams like all drifting toward one receiver and leaving like two guys open on the other side. I didn't notice that nearly as much, really, if at all, in the second half where they seemed like they were dropping to the right assignments. In coverage, like I said, they sprinkled in some man. I don't know how much man you want to play against the Dolphins, but I think if the communication is there, given the familiarity that they have with Mike McDaniel's offense and what Tua likes to do and just the speed that they're going to have to deal with that they've dealt with for the last 2 years with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, I think the second half is transferable. Now, maybe early on there'll be some new wrinkles that McDaniel's throwing in there, some motioning that he hasn't done in the past, that could maybe create some of those, you know, in-space plays for all that speed. But I feel like this is a kind of year, what, three of this rivalry where McDermott does know what this offense wants to be. And while it may take some of these younger guys time to get there, the communication was so much better in the second half. So that's a good sign for Thursday.
Chris Trapasso joining us in the Western Hotline. You hear and see him a lot on One Bills Live, filling in from time to time. And, of course, joining us here in the afternoons with draft coverage as well. Chris, let's get a rookie report on the Bills, if you would. Keon Coleman, Ray Davis, you know, those two primarily are making the biggest headlines. Coleman with a catch that many will expect to see him make over the years. And I guess it wasn't surprised, but leading the team in targets was not something I necessarily had as an expectation. The Cardinals take away Kincaid and they move the ball elsewhere, but leading the team in targets, catches, and yards, I don't know how often that will happen, but it was a really strong start for Coleman.
Yeah, definitely was. And again, this is coming from someone that was not very high on him. I didn't love when the Bills made that selection. But to your first point, when they took that deep shot down the field, I don't know if they have to always take that every game, but whether it's deep down the field, whether it's, I mean, the dreaded fade in the end zone or on a third down, just throwing the back shoulder, I think they should give Keon Coleman those opportunities, because not in his final season at Florida State, but the year before at Michigan State, he was very good in those contested catch situations. He's big. He has the vertical close to 40 inches. And he's not going to create a ton of separation by himself. There was one other play where I think, like, late in the game, where Josh Allen threw that little dump down to Ray Davis, like, at his feet on a third down, where Coleman did get a good release off the line and was screaming down the middle of the field, which would have been for a touchdown. So it was a very encouraging start for him. And like you're mentioning, I don't think anyone expected him to lead the team in targets. I think that was maybe due to the lack of, you know, we didn't really see a lot from Curtis Samuel. I thought he would maybe be more of the beneficiary, along with Khalil Shakir, to all the kind of expected, maybe not to the degree, but the expected centering for that defense on Dalton Kincaid in this game.
When you look back at Shakir, and this being year three, he makes that touchdown play on Sunday. It's only a couple of targets, but twice, Chris, he's bouncing off players, and it's contact balance, right? And I wonder for you, like, was that always kind of in the film for him, even going back to college? And how much do you think he's grown in the yak department since he entered with the Bills as a rookie?
I think he's gotten a little better, but yes, it, like, going back to Boise State when I scouted him, I was like, this guy is made for the modern day NFL. I think I had like a third round grade on him. I just thought, throw him underneath passes. He's pretty quick. He had surprising speed. He ran under 4.5 at the combine, so he's not someone that can't create vertically down the field. We saw that a little bit last year. But yeah, this is my obligatory comment on yards after the catch coming on this network, that it's something the Bills have needed. We saw the little graphic last night in the Monday Night Football game that the Chiefs, 49ers, and I think the other team was the Rams, since 2017, lead the NFL in yards after the catch per reception. That's, you know, the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan coaching tree there, of course, and then obviously Andy Reid. The Bills last few years have gotten better from being at the bottom of the league, and I think that just speaks to what Khalil Shakir can do, and that he should be, and he's kind of earned, I think, a bigger role in this offense. I didn't necessarily see all the contact balance. We're bouncing off players as frequently at Boise State. He did it a little bit, but in terms of the quickness and the power, when you combine those together with vision, that's when you're going to get a lot of those yards after the catch where a third and five can turn into a touchdown on a very high percentage throw for Josh Allen.
Chris Trapasso on the Western Hotline. Just another minute or two here with Chris. You know, this game against Miami, it's a big one. It's week two, and I want to be careful not to say it means more for the Dolphins than it does for the Bills, but, you know, it's kind of like this is a version of Bills-Chiefs where, you know, the Bills always beat Miami in the important game, and the Chiefs, while the Bills beat them in the regular season, the Chiefs kind of have this over the Bills as well.
Yep.
Like, you, if you're Miami, it's got to feel like you have to have this one.
I totally agree. I think with how they played in week one, and I know Joe is just beside himself at how close the Jaguars were to being 24-7, and then they ultimately lose that game. They were within, like, what, 2 or 3 yards mm-hmm. from taking that big lead in the third quarter. If you have that game and then the Bills come in and Josh Allen has another, you know, perfect passer rating or something like that, like well over 100 passer rating, and they score 40 points, and even if you lose in a shootout, you've got to feel like, man, what can we do to beat this team when it really matters, which facing them twice a year and to lose at home, I think you're right, Jeremy, to say that this game does probably mean a little bit more to the Dolphins than the Bills. What I do want to see in this game, just very quickly, I want to see 4th and 2, 4th and 3 late in the game to get back to Sean McDermott being aggressive, going for it, because I do tend to think that this will be a higher scoring game, and I don't know how much the Bills are going to be able to totally bottle up this Dolphins offense.
Chris Trapasso on the Western Hotline. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Get back some phone calls in. And if you have a follow-up thought, you're going to say something?
No. Chris, I texted him about it earlier. Chris is a huge Jordan Mason guy.
Oh, okay.
His number one running back in the 22 class
coming
for
out.
One of his charts.
I forgot to ask him about his future number one quarterback, Kyle McCord.
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you right now, there's no chance of that. Kyle McCord can rip the football,
You're retweeting, you know, highlights over here about him being an NFL passer.
And I said it after week one of Kyle McCord at Syracuse. He throws NFL throws, and Dane Brugler has a little bit of love for that. He doesn't have the NFL mobility.
Okay, so he's going to be a fifth-round backup.
Absolutely.
Bill's backup idea for 2023.
I would say, I don't want to say no chance, but if you cannot move now, you definitely can't get drafted high.
Who's the last high pick that couldn't move?
Rosen? Couldn't move.
Isn't Bryce Young a little of this? He's not really that athletic. No one's really watching the Panthers a lot. Whenever I see them on Red Zone, it's him getting bottled. Like, he's not escaping things.
No. Let's get some phone calls in. We'll catch up. Thanks for waiting. We'll get blast through a lot of these calls. Make sure we get to you. Walter in Toronto, you're up. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. You know, there's been a lot of talk regarding the decision to not go for it on, was it 4-3 or 4-2? And I suspect there's going to be a lot of that sort of the angst towards McDermott this year because they want to see some results. Personally, I defend the decision. I think it was the right move to go 6 points up because now you're saying to Arizona, hey, come and score a touchdown. They hadn't scored a touchdown other than the run back the whole second half. You go out, you make a shot at it, you don't get it on fourth. Now all of a sudden, Arizona's just got to get a field goal to tie it up, and I think that was the wrong move. I generally don't like when McDermott's conservative, but you know, realistically, I think that was the call. Just go up six, and then say, "Hey, get a touchdown if you can." You know, that's my take on
that. Sure, thanks, Walter. One of the other ways to say this is, let's pretend it's the other way around. Arizona's got the ball, fourth and three, Bills' territory. They're up three. What do you want Arizona to do?
I want them to kick the field goal.
Of course you do. Definitely.
100 times out of 100.
Rather than get 3 yards, which could just happen on a linebacker. You know,
is Arizona feel the same way? I wonder. Because, like, the reason I say that is give me the ball in Josh Allen's hands with a chance to win.
Right.
And the going for it on fourth means there is a chance this game ends and Allen doesn't touch the football again. That's a confidence in your quarterback. I don't know what a Cardinals fan thinks of Kyler Murray right now.
A Cardinals fan also thinks, keep me alive. I got to stay alive. You want to be in the game as long as you can, even if your quarterback is not that good. I mean, the Bills had a comeback. The Bills famously had a comeback against the field goal of death with E.J. Manuel. E.J. Manuel's first career win against Carolina was after a Ron Rivera field goal of death. They kicked a field goal to go from up one to up four.
I'm at that game. I don't remember that. Wow.
It was fourth and one with Cam Newton.
Oh, that's...
And that's a field goal of death.
How dare they call that man Riverboat Ron? Dare they?
And Walter, thanks for the phone call. The point about the field goal of death is this. Yes, it is harder to get a touchdown than it is to get a field goal. But if you're the Bills and Arizona has the ball, you want them to play for a field goal. They won't use fourth downs. And they'll settle for a tie. What if they kick that field goal with a minute left? Now I've got time to kick the game winner. What if they send it to overtime? Now I've got overtime to win. The point is, yes, getting a touchdown is harder than getting a field goal, but statistically, you are better off leading by three than leading by four.
You're better off leading by three than leading by four.
Yes. And this is true of the Chiefs. Look at the Bills-Chiefs playoff game. What happens if Bass makes that kick? Mahomes goes to play to win.
Yeah.
What happens if it's fourth and nine and the Bills are down 4 points and not 3 points? What do? They run a play.
They run a play.
And they're still alive to win the game. They're not tied, hoping to get a stop. It's fourth and nine. Let's win.
Yep.
So that's the nature of the field goal of death, which I do think is one of the more interesting conversations around the sport. Like, it's pretty juicy. It's good stuff. Thanks for the phone call. To Matt in Buffalo. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
Good.
So just real quickly, just going back a couple of segments ago, talking about the Josh Allen thing, to this hand injury thing, I don't know if I'm like the Debbie Downer, but I feel a lot of fans since the game are like, oh, he's fine. As long as you have Josh Allen, we're going to win. And this is true, and I do believe that. But we feel the same way if this game was Week 10 and this happens and now Mitchell Trubisky's potentially taking snaps on that last leg of the year for a game or two because, you know, win or lose by Josh, you know, it something like that happens and it's like, you know, I think about championship teams and you look at the past couple of years and, you know, the offensive teams that are going to the Super Bowl, the Kyle Shanahan's, you know, the Sean McVay's, the Nick Sirianni's, like, you know, you look at these guys and, like, when I think about Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, who's, you know, the Bill Belichick of offensive football pretty much, but Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to do that. And, you know, like, you know, he doesn't need to do these things. And we know Sean doesn't like it. You know, we've heard him in pressers for years talk about, yeah, I went over to Josh after that play, said, you know, great play, but hey, let's not do that one again. Like, so we know that, you know, McDermott doesn't like it. And we know that this is not how he wants to play the brand of football to take them to the playoffs. And, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, Josh is coming closer to the year 30 of his actual, you know, age. And, you know, that bill is due at some point. And it's like, we need an identity. And I just don't feel like we've ever recovered from Dable leaving. And I feel like we haven't recovered yet from Stephon Diggs leaving. And it just seems like, you know, I've heard Sal talk about it. I've heard, you know, the guys, Matt Bovee and the Buffalo Plus people talk about, like, what's the identity before? What's our identity? What's the Joe Brady offense? What's the, you know, Dorsey offense when he was here? Like, we really don't have that yet. You can look at Sean McVay, Andy Reid, and Kyle Shanahan, and guys like that, and it doesn't matter who they put in there. Look at Worthy. They're plugging and playing him in Kansas City, you know, so – I feel at some point we got to figure something out, and we can't live and die by Josh Allen the entire time.
Thanks, Matt. It's like I like this conversation about how much you're asking him to do, and we talked about it with Sal. Like it's a bit of a six of one, half dozen of the other. Does he pull it down and run because no one's open and the design is not good enough, or does he pull it down and run because he calls his own number all the time, because he knows it works? You know, hey, I can get a touchdown. I'm going to go ahead and take one. So. I will fully admit to being I'm the person in the stands. When he runs it once, that's awesome. When he runs it twice, okay, that's awesome. The third time, I'm like, come on, you don't have any other plans out there, guys? I felt like this with Dorsey. I felt like this with Brady occasionally. Another run? He ran it into the end zone three times.
Right.
You don't have any other plans? Other teams don't need this from their quarterback. And it's a double-edged sword. I don't want to ever make it sound like I'm trying to take away from what he does. I know he's great. But it's kind of like we're all, let me think of the right analogy here. I don't even know what it is. We're all partying at the casino and we're up. I'm like, should we cash out anytime soon? You sure you want to roll them again? How many times can we hit? Boom, hit. Hooray! Another
you just
jump
don't
over.
Stop losing.
Just keep going. Like, maybe can anybody take a minute? Because I'm not gonna be. I told you if he gets hurt on a run, on a jump like that, I'm not gonna be. I told you so. I will be. Eventually you asked for it. Eventually. Can he go his entire career doing that and avoiding escaping major injury? Maybe.
He might.
He might.
Knock on wood. He might.
Never stop knocking.
Right? I mean, he's built like a truck. He thinks he could... Maybe that's also going to, you know, make it more dangerous in the future. I don't know. The fact that he's 250 pounds and feels like he can jump... Maybe it'll take a big hit. Right? It's almost amazing these defenders still let him jump over them.
I was thinking the same thing. Like,
if you're Buda Baker, how do you not? You're one on one with Josh Allen. You don't expect him to jump.
Yeah,
I would expect him to jump. And one time, maybe somebody's going to expect him to jump, and they're going to flip him.
They're going to or throat slam him to the ground.
Right. And
although
then,
he's pretty big, so it's tough to do that.
That might be is that the one element here of all this where the Bills would finally be like, all right, enough, that's done. No more. You can run. I'm not going to tell you not to run. I'm not even going to tell you to slide all the time. Stop jumping over everybody.
I know.
But to be fair, it has yet to
be stopped.
It's yet to be stopped.
It's almost never stopped.
He did it week one against the Jets last year on a 3rd and 10.
Yep.
7 yards from the first down marker, and he didn't get it. The guy tackled him. That's the only time I can ever remember him trying to jump over somebody and not clearing the guy.
I can just picture in the Arizona defensive backs meeting – last week. Like, all right, guys, look at the board. What's number one on the board? Don't let Josh Allen jump over you. Okay, yeah. Everybody clear on that? We're not going to let Josh Allen jump over us.
How do you practice that?
Right. And then you get to the film, Buddha, what happened? Yeah, he jumped over me.
The thought, though, about him, like, calling his own number, like, that play, first read, second read, third read, it's his fourth read.
Right.
So it's not like he does eventually call his own number, but he checks three other ideas out first before he decides I'm going to take off. Oh, look, there's the end zone.
Yeah. This gets to, you know, if your offense has some shortcomings, he's going to overcome them. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. More your calls. We got plenty of people to get to. Having a good conversation today. Happy Bills season. We're back, baby. We're back. Temps, amazing.
Summers. We got some summer days coming.
Yes,
again.
Yes. The New York, when we get back, the New York Post has delivered an exquisite headline for Aaron Rodgers' re-debut in San Francisco.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We'll get that to you.
Rodgers is the master at it, and a touchdown by Lazard. Nobody in the league has thrown more touchdowns on free plays than Aaron Rodgers.
That pass to Lazard is pretty nice. Too little too late for Aaron Rodgers. The New York Post on Aaron Rodgers in his second debut with the New York Jets. It's a picture of Rodgers getting sacked by Leonard Floyd. And it says, at least he didn't get hurt.
Amazing. Yeah.
He got through game one. Coming up in a minute, I was just playing something for Joe. I think we're going to do this every week. Like, listen, the Bills are good.
Yeah.
We argue about whether or not we should argue about running rates and
Did they kick the field goal when they win all the time,
which means we don't really all that often get to hear people freaking out. So
right, it's more timid nowadays. Yeah, freakouts are a little watered down.
Yeah, no Howard banging the table about Trent Edwards.
Yes.
He's a B-U-M bum. Like, so we'll, whenever we find a good rant from another market, we'll take a peek into hell. You know, like, how's it going over there in, and in this case, it's going to be Cleveland. So
sure.
Stay tuned. Yes,
that's the place to go right now. If you're looking for a rant, I feel like Cleveland is on the near the top of the list.
Let's play that game. What team feels the worst right now? What fan base feels the worst right now? Cleveland's a good case.
Cleveland,
but Cleveland might be Jameis Winston away from just being fine.
Maybe, but do they feel like their ownership will even let them go to Jameis Winston? They are paying Deshaun Watson hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's fair. Although he's being sued again for sexual assault, and who knows if that could get them out of their.
Yeah,
and this one, Pro Football Talk has the details. It's horrible.
Yeah, there's another reason why a Browns fan might feel the worst, but I won't say it because it might spoil the clip a little bit. The Panthers fan feels
hopeless.
Maybe the worst because it's not only you gave up all you did to get the first overall pick quarterback, which is almost always at least pretty darn good,
kind of good,
and he looks like nothing you can invest any hope into at all. And you traded what you did to get him. I guess Caleb Williams not doing anything in week one would give you a little bit of a breather, right, from that hopeless whatever. And C.J. Stroud was the guy that went after him. Here's Anthony Richardson throwing 90-yard passes. You could have had him.
Right.
Like, a Panthers fan is just looking around the league like, I could have had any of these guys.
That's pretty bad.
And I got this guy. I don't even know what he can do. He's Tua.
He's worse than Tua. Way worse. Yeah.
A Panthers fan feels hopeless right now. Who else?
Panthers, Browns, and Giants. I mean,
See, if I'm a Giants fan, though,
you are also just like a quarterback away.
But I'm not even that mad because I feel like that's about to end, right? I'm almost there. I am one more bad Daniel Jones game away from finally. I'm done with this. Like, Drew Lock's going to go in, and who knows? But I'm on to another idea. Like, the Panthers, I feel like I'm a little stuck. And the Browns, I feel like I am absolutely. I'm stuck. I'm in quicksand.
I've got one more. Atlanta. Kirk Cousins, Atlanta. One of the things about Atlanta, if you didn't see this, who's watching, you know, Atlanta highlights? There's a supercut of what Kirk Cousins did out there. You thought Aaron Rodgers looked slow and old. Kirk Cousins played an NFL game and did not move. Shotgun, snap, throw. Shotgun, snap, throw. No play action. Mm-hmm. No rollouts. Nothing. He played as if he was wearing a cast,
yeah.
Which means that they are dead.
Yep.
Falcons. Here I'm telling you they're going to go 12-5, and I want to back that down to 5-12 after 1 week.
They do have a first-round quarterback on the bench.
Michael Penix, yeah. Todd in North Carolina. Hey, Todd, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to touch base a little bit on the field goal and why I think it was the right decision.
Yep. Go ahead.
Specifically, I think that we, you know, like the previous caller said, we've held them since the second quarter from scoring a touchdown offensively. And the other thing I take into consideration is Josh Allen was hurt prior to that, and a 4th-and-3, we're probably going to roll him out, either to drop it off somewhere, maybe 5 yards deeper, or he's going to go for it, which most likely he would, potentially injuring himself further. And I kind of just like the way McDermott was confident in the defense to hold them. My question specifically about analytics is they're taking in the bulk of a lot of these situational football plays, but that game specifically, we had held them for so long, it just seemed like the right decision for me.
Yeah. The one thing I wonder, thanks, Todd. The one thing I wonder about this to follow up, like, I bet the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I bet the road to trusting the defense because they hadn't scored in the second half is paved with lots of teams that did anyway. Give the team one last chance, mm-hmm. and then they score. You know, like, you could say that, and it's not wrong. I don't know how I would find that. How many times has a team, finger quotes, trusted the defense only to have that defense give up a touchdown for the first time in two quarters? Because it definitely has happened. And you can't exactly just lean on that. It's worthy of making the case, but I don't know. That's why baking win percentage into all of it, that's what that does. Yes, that removes caliber of quarterback. Yes, that removes... you know, how the game has gone. It's in the history of the NFL, teams that have the ball here with this score, with this lead, you know, you're playing from a place where you were at 81%, or what was it, 86%?
It would have been 86 going forward, 83.
Okay.
Not
so in the history of the NFL, that's it goes both ways, too. That's having the worst defense of all time and the best defense of all time, and having mm-hmm. Josh Allen be the guy through the fourth down play, or having it be
yep.
Trent Edwards. So it's every play ever. It's, you know, it was a 3% loss in win probability, which I say all the time, you don't have to care about it. The Bills, for multiple seasons, have been pretty good with this, and this marks a deviation, a character change for what McDermott normally does. They usually do not give up that much of a win percentage on a call. Thanks for the phone call. I mean, if you want to defend it, I think you have people have a case. It's not... Listen, we watched, this is getting back to the point about how we used to yell and scream. We used to sit here and talk about how Doug Marrone punted the ball with 6 minutes left down 10 in Miami.
Man.
10. Like Antonio Pierce and his punt. That is 7 points of yep. win probability. Trust the defense. Rex Ryan punting in a game where his team was eliminated from playoff contention with yeah. a tie.
Oh.
You got so,
I forgot about that one for a minute. Holy cow.
You know, so we've had some doozies out there
yeah.
by comparison.
I don't even know if I need the win probability for it, though. Like it's nice to have that. You want to make it about your gut? Make it about your gut. Why is your gut not saying Josh Allen on 4th-and-3 to win the football game? You don't have to ask your defense to do anything. Nothing. He's Superman out there, right? You just saw him fly over a guy. 4th-and-3, game over. If he gets 3 yards, come on, call a pass. If the pass play doesn't work, he's going to run it through for the first down.
Just boot him. Bootleg.
And even, like...
he'll run through 5 guys.
The phrasing also...
and then we'll talk about how maybe he shouldn't have.
Yeah, like on the... I think, was it Ross Tucker in the broadcast, too? Like, you know, Every broadcaster is going to say this. Well, like when you kick the field goal there, what are you doing? You're trusting your defense. And I hate that verbiage in those situations because it's not trusting your defense. If you had full confidence, 100%, my defense is going to stop them. Why would you give them the easier assignment? You should be okay with, they can stop on a short field. They can stop them from getting to a field goal.
Well,
my defense is not going to let the Cardinals get into my range. That's trusting your defense.
Part of it is counterintuitive because the easier assignment is for the defense, don't give up a touchdown. That's a much easier assignment. However, that's also the better chance that Arizona or any team in that spot has to win the game is to need a touchdown instead of a field goal. Because a field goal starts a new game. That's a coin toss, basically, overtime. 803-0550. Rich in Cheektowaga. Hey, Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
Morning. Good. Sun's out.
So my question, when you watch other teams, like you watched Brock Purdy last night, you watch Lamar Jackson, Mahomes, when they throw passes, almost all their passes are thrown to guys that are wide open, and it's just an easy pass, an easy catch. Why do the Bills never have that? Ever. Like Josh Allen has to, thread a needle on every pass to guys that are blanketed when these other teams are scheming open receivers, open tight ends, open running backs. And I just feel like that's like a big part of, our downfall is that like we have to.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich.
Routinely.
I don't know that it's like it never happens. There's a point here about the yak stuff, how those teams are yak teams. And most of Josh Allen's career, he's been a downfield thrower, and they're transitioning to more of a yak team and a short yardage, a shorter throw team. So time will tell. Part of the reason is, you used to have guys that got open all the time. I mean, that was, sorry for saying his name, Diggs. He got open all the time. One of the best separators in the league. We'll see about Curtis Samuel. I mean, he wasn't out there, so we don't know what he can do yet in this offense. Coleman's not going to be a guy that separates. He makes the play on that downfield ball doing what he does best. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this offense in the bigger picture yet. I got a tweet from Ryan, and maybe we should do this, Joe. You ready for a new segment?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna get you on the fly here. I need the theme of the Wicked Witch from the Wizard of Oz.
Put Josh on that real quick.
Yeah. Ryan tweeted in, how are we measuring the Brady witchometer?
Okay. Because
right? I said to you, throughout the offseason, as they're building this offense, the way that they're building it, just please, Joe Brady, please be a witch. Be one of these guys like Shanahan, McVay, Bobby Slowick, Bobby Johnson, Mike McDaniel, I think, is a witch. You have Tua Tagovailoa lead the league in passing. You're a witch, man. Like, you're amazing at offense. You have Josh Allen, so maybe it's harder to give him credit sometimes than it should be. But on the scale of 1 to 10, we could do this each week. The witchometer. How much of a witch is Joe Brady right now on a scale of 1 to 10? What are you ready to say? I don't think anybody's ready to say 10. Right, 10 is where Kyle Shanahan lives. Guys are running open all the time.
Yep.
Jordan Mason pops in and goes for 28 carries and 100 million yards. And like Debo Samuel in the backfield. They do everything they want.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where'd you put him right now? 4? 5?
I was going to say like 4.5.
5?
5.
Hit the music.
Five.
It's a new segment. Tell sales. The witchometer.
The witchometer.
Is Joe Brady a witch?
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10. You can sponsor this brand new segment.
Yeah. I'm going to go 4-6. Under 5. I'm not putting him right down the middle.
Who should sponsor this segment? Cinnamon brooms? Hats?
I mean, everyone's got Halloween theme things coming up,
giant
right?
12-foot lawn skeletons.
Maybe a certain store that puts up temporary banners on empty buildings that maybe has already begun.
Let's check in with the Joe Brady Witchometer presented by 12-foot skeletons.
On Rich's call, real quick, by the way, he asked about, like, is he throwing to open guys as much? This new NFL pro site with all the next-gen stats numbers has tight window percentage.
Okay.
Allen in week one, tight window percentage. He threw into tight window 17.4% of his throws. That was eighth in the league.
Eighth highest?
Eighth highest in the league. So that actually is backed up by the numbers a little bit.
All right.
Lamar was into open windows. Purdy was into open windows. Allen, not as much.
All right. Good. Something to track. Very good.
The Witchometer.
Witchometer, presented by 12 Foot Skeletons. All right, Jeremy and Joe, Extendo Sports coming up.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
I'm just watching the Will Levis pick six, which is pretty amazing.
I love him.
So hey, we were just saying things here are so good, we don't ever, often get really good rants anymore where we can just kind of laugh at somebody freaking out about sports. So we got one for you. From 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Things in Cleveland are great, aren't they? Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. This is Ken Carmen. Their first caller of the day in Cleveland.
Two numbers. You'll figure them out. 42.9, 144.
What is all this?
Watson's quarterback rating. Mayfield's quarterback rating.
Oh, Christ. I can't do this for one more second.
No, that's enough. That's enough. The first call out of the box, we're going to do this. The very first call out of the box, we're going to do this.
Mm-mm, no. Mm-mm. I know what his quarterback rating was. I know that he was good. Guys, I'm not doing it right out of the damn box. Can I have a little bit of time before we do this? Can I have a little bit of time? That he ain't coming home. He ain't coming back.
This is only the Baker Mayfield.
That's it. He had a great day down there. Congratulations on all his success. I can't undo the trade. I can't undo it. You ready to go to another one?
Ready to go to another one?
We gotta do this. Man. We gotta stretch our muscles and like listen to people freak out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we'll have ours over the year, but
that was their first caller of the season.
Yes. First call of the season. Here's Baker Mayfield's quarterback rating.
Yeah.
Oh man. That's dark.
Yeah.
All right. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up. We are back tomorrow. It's a Wednesday, which means we're loaded. We'll talk with Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast. Howard picks the Bills, all that good stuff. So stay tuned. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.